Today, our New Testament reading is on 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. There are a few Bibles available, and we will be showing the text on the screens as well. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Happy last Sunday of Easter. Did y'all know that? Today is the last Sunday of Easter. Have you been celebrating Easter all these last few weeks? Dyeing eggs and stuff like that, and yes, looking for bunnies and things. I can remember one year that on Easter Sunday, there was a rabbit in the churchyard of the church I was serving, and all of the little kids were just amazed that the Easter Bunny was at their church and nobody else's. There's just something about Easter, and I know we have secularized it quite a bit, and thank goodness that the Reese's people did with their peanut butter eggs. That was amazing. But there's something about Easter that just reminds us, for those of us that are in the church, that we're not just saying words, but we're remembering exactly how much God loves us because of what God was able to do on that Sunday. So, in the midst of all of this, we have the disciples. The disciples who for a couple of years were with Jesus constantly and were learning and were doing all of the things that Jesus asked them to do. Sometimes grudgingly and sometimes not too well, and sometimes just like us, we have to be reminded that, wait a minute, where's your focus? Where's your focus? And God asks us. God asks us to keep our focus on Jesus. That no matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter what is going on in our life, that our focus needs to be on Jesus. Because Jesus was getting the disciples ready for leaving this earth and leaving the disciples by themselves, in the Gospel of John, there were, from John 13, verse 31 to 17, verse 26, all of that is called the farewell discourses. It was so important for Jesus that the disciples be ready for him not being physically present with them anymore, that in the Gospel of John, we have over three chapters, almost four complete chapters, that are just for the disciples to remember. Today, this last Sunday of Easter, we have that. We have the very final part. This also brings up the subject of prayer. I've never seen people squirm as much as when they're in a group and people know they go to church and it's time for like a meal or the time to end the session or whatever, and somebody says, who would like to offer prayer for us? In my lifetime, I've never seen people's heads go down faster than that. All of a sudden, people need to make sure their shoes are okay, and they don't want to make eye contact with a person. True? True. I think it happens. And And I don't believe it's because we don't want to pray. I think the Bible is clear for us, or clear to us, that God knows our thoughts and God knows our hearts. And so those are constant prayers to God. But when we have to say it out loud with other people, then we get a little squirmy. And maybe part of it is that we think people are judging us, or maybe part of it is that, like me, sometimes you lose your thought in the middle of a sentence, and then you feel like you're just babbling, and people are going to go, I thought they went to church. Seriously? That's how they pray in public? You know, when we talk about prayer, sometimes it's that peace that touches our hearts because it reminds us that through prayer we are constantly connected to God. Now, it's true that we are always constantly connected to God, but somehow when we pray, we feel that more intensely, I really believe. So, today, we're toward the end. Hear what God has to say in John 17, verses 1 through 11. Hear the words of the Lord. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all the people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and they know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. I know sometimes in the Gospel of John, things say, you just sometimes want to say, okay, John, you have said that four times. You don't need to say it a fifth way. I get it. And yet, we do, because we're all different, and we can hear the same thing in five different ways, and it may not make sense to us, like four of those ways don't make sense, but one did. We don't know what people are hearing and how they're receiving it, and for Jesus, this was so important, and he was getting ready to leave these men that he had been with for a few years. And he did not, according to another place in Scripture, he did not want to leave them orphaned, feeling like they have been abandoned. So he prayed fervently that God would help them understand that even though he was no longer with them physically, that emotionally and spiritually and mentally, he was never leaving them. That Jesus is always with us. I was taught that as a young kid, that no matter where I went, no matter what I did, that Jesus was always with me. Now, sometimes I think my parents told me that to scare me so that I would, you know, whatever you do, you know, Jesus is watching, so you know. I know you all as good, were good parents and didn't do that to your children. Pat and Warren chose to do that to me. Now, while that was a little freaky sometimes, it did help cement to me that there was no place that I could go that Jesus wasn't already there. There was no place I could be that Jesus wasn't with me 100% of the time. It's not like sometimes when people say, yeah, I'm going to be with you, and you turn around and they're gone. I love to walk trails and I love to walk parks. I do it often with one of the dogs. Sometimes, if I'm brave, with two of the dogs. The little one is a little weird, but she has to learn somehow. But there's nothing scarier than if you're walking with somebody else and you turn around and they're gone. Because who knows what they saw and they went someplace else. And now, I don't know what to do. Do I stay right here or do they think, well, she's not going to just stay right there. She's going to go. We just don't know what to do. And because we let each other down so often, because while I can talk about how that's what that feels like to me when somebody leaves me, I know how many times I've left somebody else. It's not necessarily just in a park. Sometimes it's in the mall. Sometimes it's just in the neighborhood. I'm supposed to be someplace else and something triggers my brain and I go off. And without even knowing, I've upset someone else because they didn't know where I was. Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so this prayer for the disciples was Jesus just fervently praying to God, help them understand in their hearts, in their minds, in their daily life. In the Gospel of John, we see the word glory, and for according to what I learned in seminary, in the Gospel of John, that has to do with the way that God is made known to humankind. That when we say glory at any time, that is what it means. It means that God is made known to us, and that is the glory. If you think back, remember when Jesus was born and the angel sang Gloria in the highest because God had come to earth and in a physical being that reminded people that there is no place you go that I am not with you. You may feel like you're all alone, but I promise you, you're not. I promise you, I'm right there with you. Sometimes we believe that people are created by God to have a relationship with God. And that is true, but I think sometimes we kind of twist that a little bit and think, so now I have to do all these things to perform for God. And that's where we get it messed up. Because we're not performing for God. God is with us. It begins with our faith and how we understand faith with Jesus and faith with God. Jesus came to this earth to show us because Jesus would glorify God out loud to the disciples, to anybody that would listen. In this, Jesus is saying, everything I have done is to glorify God, all of the work. And oh, God, I obeyed your commandments. I obeyed everything you asked me to do. And that helps us. Because it's in the faithfulness that Jesus showed to God that Jesus shows us how to honor God. Now, I know that sounds like I'm saying, so we have to be perfect, but you know, heavenly days, we know that's not true. None of us are going to be perfect. I mean, some of you come very close to it, I know. But this is God saying, it's your faithfulness. It's not your deeds. It's not your acts. It's not even your thoughts. It's your faithfulness. So that when we do something that we know that isn't God approved, we take it to God and God says, well, I forgive you. I've even been told that sometimes when we plead with God, please forgive me, that God is saying, you know what? I really don't know what you're talking about. Because as soon as we ask God for forgiveness, God does it. God forgives. It's wiped away. It's just stuck in our brains and in our hearts. I let down people. I've let down God. I let down my work. I've let down God. And we can't get past that. And so Jesus is saying, oh, see, I know what it's like to be human because I was. Jesus walked this earth, and Jesus was what I've been told, the perfect person. That doesn't mean that Jesus wasn't tempted. There's a part of that in the Bible, right? Jesus was showing us because Jesus knows what it's like to be human. Because Jesus can say, I know this is hard for you because sometimes it was hard for me and I am God. So the good news is that Jesus also reminds us that we hopefully feel at those times when we feel that God is distant, that Jesus reminds us, no, God is with us, right here with us. At times when we feel like we're kind of missing that connection with the divine, maybe you've had those moments too where it feels like you've been abandoned by God. Sometimes I've heard people say that, why has God abandoned me? It's in the scripture. Oh God, why have you left me? And do you remember the response? It's at those times when you didn't feel me with you that I was surrounding you with my love. I was holding you in my hands. So at those times when we miss the connection, Jesus is here to remind us. Often we feel like we've been disconnected when we're grieving the loss of someone we love. And again, Jesus is saying, I know, I understand. Hopefully that is helpful for you because it sure is helpful for me. It's helpful to know that when I pray to God, God is already saying, oh. There were times when I was growing up and my folks get a pretty bad rap sometimes because those are my memories. But I remember one time when I was kind of crying about something. I wasn't very old. And my mom would say, will you quit crying? Never in the history of quit crying does anybody quit crying. Is that true? We could tell people that all the time. But sometimes, and especially with small children, if you say quit crying, what do they do? Cry harder. Because it's in the... I don't know how to stop crying. See, it's in those times when we're grieving, when we feel lost, when the tears don't stop flowing, that Jesus says, oh, I understand. Remember, I was human. I walked this earth. I hurt because of what was happening. This passage tells us, as Jesus prays for the disciples, Jesus is reminding, I know what it's like to be human. So what is it that we do when we're feeling lost or we're feeling aimless or we feel like we are the only ones, that nobody is around and nobody is there to help us? We forget who we are. Oh, let me correct that. We forget whose we are. Because we belong to God. God is always with us, that God lives inside of us. And we remember that we can live out God's love in this world because we're not alone. There was a part in the movie The Lion King. If you ever, I know, it's a cartoon movie, but there are some parts of cartoon movies that are more real than almost anything else. Rafiki tells the adult Simba, who is grieving the death of his father, Rafiki says that he knows where his father is. And he talks to Simba, and he takes him to a pool of water, and he tells him to look down into the water. Simba complains, "That's not my father, that's just my reflection." And Rafiki says, "No, no, look harder." And as he looks, Simba begins to recognize his father in his own reflection. And Rafiki says, "You see, he lives in you." That's what Jesus wants us to remember. That's what Jesus is saying. This is the hope for the world. It's a hope for each one of us, that God lives in us. We may not see the reflection, but we show it in how we intercede for others, how we pray beyond for the people around us. I know very, very few parents who don't pray for their children often, daily. Sometimes, as my dad explained to me, I was praying for you every hour. I don't get it. I didn't think I was such a tough child. But so Jesus is saying, as we pray for others, we're praying that they will understand that Christ is with them. And it reminds us that it's a call for unity for all of us. For all of us that believe in God, that believe in Jesus Christ, do we do the same? Do we pray for each other? Not just when something happens in their lives or not, but do we pray for them? I don't know about you, but every once in a while, names of my friends, including a lot of you, will just kind of pop up in my head during the day. I always think that that is God saying to me, "You need to say a prayer for that person right now." I have no idea. I have no idea if they were going through something, but I know that God, or I believe that God put their name in my brain at that moment so that I could put their name in my heart, so that I could remember them. It's offering the same that God gives to us. For the world that lives in darkness, I believe that we were created to be the lighthouses. I think that's why lighthouses are collected by so many Christians. Maybe we don't even realize it. We just think they're cool, and they are. Even the ones that don't work anymore, they're really cool. If you go down the shore on the Atlantic coast, you can go through lighthouses. They're just so amazing. But God, I believe, created us to be a lighthouse for the world. It helps us know that we have this little window into the heart of Jesus as we pray for our friends. It's just like this. We have God, and then we have Jesus, and then we have the disciples, and then we have us. It's a chain of command or a chain of prayer that says we are all connected. Even if people don't necessarily claim Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're connected. I believe they were created by God just as we all were created by God. And so, God helps us. God reminds us that we are His. I want to end with the very end of chapter 17. This is the prayer that Jesus said, verses 25 and 26. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these who you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved may be in them, and I in them. That is our hope, that is our prayer on this last Sunday of Easter. Jesus came to this world so that we could know God. May it be so today and all of our days. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.